On this episode of the iPhoneography Podcast, I'm back! And we're going to talk about travel photography with tips and tricks and examples from my recent trip.
It's Monday, October 23rd, and I have a familiar but yet strange face in front of me on Zoom. It's my delightful co-host, Dave Podner. Hello, David.
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
Good. Glad to see you back. So, on the last show that you were on with, like the last show had Matt Hoffman on, but the last one that you were on, you had said that you're going to go, either you said on the show or after the show, but you said you were going to go on a trip to Palm Springs to visit your dad. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, though, you had thought, well, maybe we should do a show about travel photography. And I said, well, I don't travel really. And you didn't travel too much up to that point that I knew of. And then all of a sudden, bang, you're going on this trip. So, okay, now we can do a one on travel photography. So that's what we're going to talk about. First of all, good trip.
It was an excellent trip. It was an excellent trip.
The pictures you sent me had nothing but sunny blue skies, palm trees.
Yeah.
And I was just getting real envious because it's getting cold up here now, as you know, because our weather's almost the same.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was the same way when the day before we left, because we left Tuesday, like our flight was at 8 a.m. So we left early in the morning. But the day before, the high temperature was 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
And there's at most they ever get out there because you're in the desert. Mm-hmm. Is thin, wispy clouds. But for some days, there were no clouds in the sky. Absolutely.
How much rain would they get?
A year? 1 to 2 inches.
Wow. You know, we had 6 inches of rain in 1 week here about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. They literally, most streets do not have...
Drainage?
Drainage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's not a need for it.
They have
their rainy season 1 or 2 months a year.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you figure, if you get an inch of rain in a month, they had a time when I think the hurricane came through California and they got hit, and it was the one kind of a dry, their riverbed was completely dry by the time we were there. In fact, there's even a golf course in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was overflowing, but that doesn't stay because you go in, you go out. And so, yeah, a lot of people are getting better with water conservation also.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because in the past people want to have the lush green lawn like they do in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lush green lawns are great when you get lots of rain.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're in the desert, that doesn't make any sense. So you're seeing more and more. My dad did the same thing where his front yard is all desertscape.
Oh, okay.
A few native plants and a river rocks.
That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks good. It looks like it belongs there, too. In the back. And this is kind of cool. He has a grapefruit tree, a couple lemon trees, and a lime tree.
Oh, neat.
So, a couple times in the morning, Ruth went out. We picked limes right off the tree, and she made limeade.
Oh, nice.
For breakfast. Just kind of squeeze the fresh lime. The lemons weren't ready. Unfortunately, the grapefruit is more of a January, February.
Oh, but okay.
They were like these massive, bigger than softball and just green.
Wow.
But they were just, you could see because he can't, because of medication issues, you know, if you're on certain cholesterol medication, you can't eat grapefruit.
Oh, right. Okay.
It messes with you. Yep. He's in that situation. So what he does, and you can see he's going to have 20, 30 grapefruit easy. And they all come around the same time. So he donates it to, it's either the food bank or he donates it to his church, who also goes through like a food bank to help people.
Well, that's a cool. That's a good idea.
These things are like, if you think about the biggest grapefruit you ever see in a store.
Yeah.
And that's the size of them.
Wow.
I mean, that's cool. Yeah. Well, and then, of course, when we flew back, we went from 100 degrees Fahrenheit down to mid 50s for highs.
Yeah. It's a bit of a culture shock, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got about a half a dozen like sections of travel photography to talk about. And the first one is,
well, first of all, Greg, we got to start off with the 200 shot slide to show you every picture I took out there.
Oh yeah.
You can see the first picture, click, click. And here's the second picture where it looks almost like the first, just a little different, click, click. And here's a third picture, click, click.
Can you imagine? I remember those days.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, and before we go into the photography here actually itself, but presenting a travel, I tried to narrow down what I sent, what I posted online.
Yeah.
And if it happened at an event, or if it happened, if there was just one thing kind of related, like I went up the tram they have out there.
Yeah.
I made a slideshow in iMovie about it.
Yeah.
That way, you know, you can still show the photos. Mm-hmm. You can get across what happened, tell a story with it. You know, but not post here's 30 photos because sorry, unless you're like a really good friend or someone's spouse or close family, you're not. When I see someone post 27 photos, I'm like, I'll briefly scan it, but I'm not going to look at 27 photos. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's, you know, it could get a little crazy with, you know, so like you say, so many pictures of the same thing, but just, you know, a few seconds apart type of thing. But yeah, it's good to condense everything into a short little story that showcases the trip and that way it doesn't bore anybody.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, okay. So the first thing is preparation, which I think is a really good thing to do before you go on a trip. You know, research your destination. Mm-hmm. Now, since your dad lives there and you guys have probably talked on numerous occasions via either FaceTime or Zoom or something, you probably had a pretty good idea of what to expect. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And even before we went, he said, well, here's things I have plans for you to do while you're out here.
Okay. Yeah. So, and these things you probably might not know that much about, right?
Right. Or I just know a little bit of it.
Yeah. So he's your research outlet, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, if you were going to Palm Springs, say, and your dad did not live there, and you didn't know anybody there, what would you have done for research? Like, how would you have researched it?
Right. Well, a lot of times most places do have at least a larger city, a visitor conventions bureau, and they have a website that will tell you the highlights and what's happening. So there were a couple things that, like I said, for planning ahead, we went up on the Palm Springs tram.
That thing's high. Holy. What's the elevation on that day?
Well, there's 3 points of elevation. You have the Palm Springs Coachella Valley area, which I'm going to give thanks in feet. Sorry, everyone outside the U.S. It is around 200 feet above sea level.
Okay.
The loading station is around 1,200 feet, and the top of the tram's 8,700.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
Yes.
That is about...
divide by three, so just shy of 3,000 meters.
Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, that'd be pretty close.
Yeah, rule of thumb.
I was trying to think in kilometers. I
mean, kilometers. That's, yeah,
you could fit kilometers in that one.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Basically, it's 3 kilometers straight up.
Yeah, yeah. So
now, if I were just going out there and I didn't know, what I would do is, like I said, most things have a website these days.
Yeah,
you know, so I would go to the website, try to get information, details about it, and see, you know. Also, there are plenty of apps out there that tell you about where the sun is positioned. So you have an idea, you know, well, this thing's here and the big focal point is here, but the sun's going to be behind me, or it's going to be in front of me, or something on that nature.
Yeah. So it's a good idea to have something like photo pills or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And like I said, most places, like I said, convention and visitor bureau, they take the high points. Most places that you're going to individually will have a website. If you're a member of AAA, I think it's CAA in Canada or whatever, you know, they're big into travel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, in terms of, so they'll have like city guides or things like that. Go to the library. And mm-hmm. if you want to do something other than to visit the website, or even go to Instagram and type in where you're going to visit, and you can find photos from there.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea.
I would have said Flickr in the past, but I still think Instagram's the better for public information.
Yeah, for sure. Because a lot of people geotag their pictures. And
exactly.
I mean, I've done that before. Like, if I want to know what a certain place looks like, I just type in the name of the place on Instagram and you can see all kinds of stuff. So that's a great idea. So before you leave, what you want to do too is you want to make sure you've got enough room on your phone.
Yes.
For these photos that you're going to be taking.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I'll say that generally that. I don't do a lot of raw photos, and I have everything saved in HEIF, so I have tons of room on the phone. My biggest problem in the past was the fact that I'm having to pay, thank you Apple and Google, for storage space, just because of saving in the cloud.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I pay for iCloud storage. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people that will pay for Google Photos.
Yeah.
There's a free Google Photos, but people will pay for it so they can keep their full res images. That's how it works, right?
Actually, they changed that.
Oh, they did?
So it's more of the amount of storage you get. So there is a free level, but it's more than Apple gives you, which is, I'm sorry, Apple needs to give us more.
They should. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but back then the cameras were a much lower resolution. So even if you're not taking more photos, the photos are taking more resolution, especially now that with the 15 Pros, they're pushing 24 megapixel photos to be your base photo now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, even with the compression, you got more money than... Like you got more money than all but like 6 countries in the world.
Yeah.
you can afford to bump it up from the 5 gigabytes to
15 for free.
Yeah,
I think
or something.
Good,
yeah.
Good option.
Exactly. Yeah. But I would say definitely make sure. And I think most people are okay with that, because the good thing is with the phones is, you can immediately, let's say, have some downtime between going through things every day. You know, let's say every night, you can go through and think, "Oh, that didn't turn out good. I probably can't save." Yeah. So you can save a lot of space that way.
Yeah, that's what they call old school editing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. and that means editing the selection of photos that you're going to keep, type of thing. And then the other point that we have here is clean your camera lens. That could be done anytime. You know what? I'm actually
every time.
Doing
Do
that.
Do it.
I'm doing
every
that
time.
More. For some reason, since I got this new iPhone, I don't know if it's maybe my fingers. Like, I put it in my back pocket, and when I grab it, I tend to put my fingers on the camera lenses, and I look at it. Oh, okay, I got to wipe that on my shirt. And you know, don't worry about using your shirt to wipe these camera lenses off. These are tough. They can take, some people think they have to have a lens cleaning cloth or something. I've used my blue jeans for crying out loud. They're strong glass on these things. But it makes a big difference on, like, sometimes if you take a picture and it's kind of hazy looking and you want to, what happened there? Look at your camera lens. It's probably all smudgy.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's somewhere, let's say, that is either very hot or very cold.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Very hot because you will sweat. You may not realize that you're sweating, or very cold where you get condensation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I mean,
take a half a second. Take that literally half a second, wipe off, and you'll notice a huge difference.
Yep. That's right. So next is capture local culture. I've saw some cool stuff that you've taken down there of, local art pieces and things like that. It's pretty cool stuff, like focus on people and their daily lives. So I obviously haven't seen all the pictures you've taken, but did you capture people in their, daily routines, that type of thing?
I didn't really have much of a chance, to be honest.
Okay.
Now, other places you may have better chance, just because there are a lot, at least around where my dad is. He isn't in a gated community, but there are a lot of gated communities out there.
Okay.
So when I went on my morning runs, I went out and you would see these stucco walls, 10 feet high walls. And you come to it look like an intersection. No, it's the gate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you just keep running. And there's a stop sign there. So there's enough people living behind in the gate. But there were a lot of gated communities.
Huh.
So the only place that we got around like normal people who were just kind of going around was when we went to like the grocery store or things like that, where it wasn't really local. It was the same, same grocery store kind of that you would feel anywhere else.
Oh yeah.
There were a couple places where we actually went in the downtown area of Palm Springs. Where he lives in a city called Rancho Mirage. But we actually went to downtown Palm Springs where they have like their main shopping area. And there was a large, we're talking 20, 30 foot statue of Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yes. I saw those pictures. Yeah.
Basically, it's the
famous pose, right?
Where she was standing on a gate, her on a grate. And it's a giant. And people lined up to take a picture.
Yeah.
And it's right in front of their art museum. So we got a few pictures there. And there was like an outdoor art installation nearby. It was interesting. Not really photogenic, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because, well, you know what? Not everything's going to be, right? And so the local architecture, local art, art pieces and things like that, that's all part of the local culture, right?
Exactly.
And you could use photography to tell these cultural stories.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of blends in with the next one is embrace landscapes. And the first point there is capture iconic landmarks. Well, that statue would be an iconic landmark in Palm Springs, in my opinion. Did you do any architecture stuff? Like, really? Like, was there anything that really stood out in your mind as far as?
Not a lot, to be honest. There were a couple interesting.
We're pointing at your trip when we talk about this stuff, but listeners, when you're thinking of travel photography, and the bullet points that we mentioned, and then we expound on them, kind of think of these things as how they relate to where you might want to go or where you are,
right?
Palm Springs, it may have the architecture there is going to be of a certain style for sure.
Right.
But iconic. Go ahead.
Well, I'll say one thing, and this is one of the outdoor art exhibitions they showed there. The San Andreas Fault runs right through that valley.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's why buildings are only 3 or 4 stories at most.
Oh, okay.
Because of earthquake. In fact, the art installation was an outline of the fault.
Oh.
Really? Yes.
Yeah. That's
so
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically when the place was built, and this is a little science here. The thought of tectonic plates and how everything comes together and all that, that's really recent.
Mm-hmm.
The thought that shifting tectonic plates cause earthquakes and volcanoes and everything else, that's within the last, I don't want to be wrong here, definitely within the last 100 years.
Okay.
Because before that, we had no idea. So people were building places.
It was all right trial and error.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and if somewhere didn't have an earthquake in 50 years, no big deal, right? We'll put our building right here. And one of my dad's old houses 20 years ago, the fault went directly underneath the home.
Oh, wow.
But when it was built, they didn't know.
Yeah, of course. How would you know, right?
So that's why I don't think. Now, like I said, this is also true for if you do like a staycation. Because when I'll do pictures like downtown Pittsburgh, I'll go, for me, there's a lot more impactful architecture because you have the taller buildings you'll have some older, unique looking houses and such. So just keeping an eye out for that. And like you said, there are historic sections of cities.
Oh, also. Sure. Yeah. Like I think of Toronto and I haven't really explored the city that much, really. Usually if I go to Toronto, I've got a purpose. I'm in, I'm out, I'm done. But I know the friends of mine have gone and they've done what's it called now? The distillery district.
Hmm.
Where, you know, there's distilleries and they make whiskey, wine, whatever. But there's the financial district, which I've walked through. That's where all the big tall buildings are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some iconic landmarks there, right? But when it comes to landscapes, you know, you can experiment with panoramic shots. It depends on where you are, right?
Right.
You sent a shot. And you said you were having breakfast at this location, and you look out, and there's a golf course, palm trees, there's clear skies. Now, I think that was a pano.
That was a pano.
Okay. Yeah. That's a cool way to show that.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I think it's a lot more effective than like a regular 4x3 or even a 16x9.
Most definitely. And one thing to remember. Take multiple panos because you can do pano with the 0.5, the 1, and the telephoto, either the 3X or the 5X or whatever. Like if you have an older phone, even a 2X, you'll get a different feel.
Oh, sure.
Crop may be better with, let's say, a 3X versus the 1X.
Yes. And I've discovered that doing panels. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. And I did try a pano on top of the tram. To get kind of a sweeping view of the valley below. It just didn't work out as well. But again, the great thing about digital photography, I tried it. It didn't work. No big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I took a pano and I took a normal 16x9 shot as a backup.
Yeah.
That way, when I look at it later, I can say, I really can't crop this. It just didn't match what I wanted to see. But I have the 16x9, which at least showed it so I can get a feel for being up there and looking down on the valley.
Yeah. And another thing about panels is you could do a vertical panel. Like if you're at a place where there's tall trees or tall buildings or whatever, you can do the panel going up or down. Just as easy. And it actually works pretty good. Go ahead.
Sorry, Greg. Mentioning about embracing landscapes. One of the shots I took from on top of the trail, basically you're looking down on the entire valley. Okay. But you can see the street grid. And it's a very regular street grid. And for most people watching, listening to this may think, yeah, it's a city. It has a street grid. My answer is, I'm from Pittsburgh. We do not have straight streets. We do not have flat streets. We do not have wide streets. We have meandering paths that pass for streets in this town.
Yeah.
So to look at an entire, you know, five mile by five mile or however it is, however big it is, and just see this giant grid of streets with it very little meandering or curves. You have corners at the intersection, but not like a curved street. Mm-hmm. And just to see that geometric pattern, you know, it was just something that gives you a feel that you wouldn't be able to see it from any other angle either. From where?
Yeah, really.
It's almost not quite. It's almost like you're on a plane. You know?
Yeah.
That high up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, over 8,000 feet. That's that's a low-lying plane, but that's still way up there.
Yeah. It could be. I know someone who happens to her husband's a pilot. And I don't think they own the plane. But it's a two-seater, three-seater little prop plane type thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And those things only fly 1,000, 2,000 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. They go overhead over here all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was higher up than those planes go.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Or normally go. I should say normally go.
Yeah. So the final point on embrace landscapes is using leading lines for dramatic effect. And would you say that view that you had of the street grid, was that an effective use of leading lines, or was it just too far away and they were too small?
Not too small. I would say not too small, but they didn't converge enough.
Okay.
They converged a little bit, but it wasn't. If it was longer, I could see convert. You know, but they still looked too parallel. The one shot I did take though was, and I'm actually, as we're talking, pulling up the photos here, we're actually in front of a couple of palm trees up close, but looking very tight. And they had the converging lines, just looking kind of straight up at the trees. Because, like I said, you're talking pretty high trees, and you're looking kind of straight up, and they're just leading up right up to the top. Because the trunks of those palm trees are pretty bare. There's no leaves or just the bark until you're 30, 40 feet up in the air.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, leading lines can be seen just about anywhere, really. You know, if you're, say, in Venice, you look up the canals, the streets that are actually canals, you know, the leading lines of the buildings on the side and the river itself, you know, they all converge, you know, in the distance to, you know, create those leading lines and all that stuff. So, you know, that's just an example of what you can do with your photography while you're traveling, to create like a dramatic effect.
Yeah. The other thing that would be more leading lines, there were a series of trees going down the street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that kind of gave a leading line. For the other thing that I noticed is there are no telephone, or as you would call them, hydro poles out there.
Everything's underground. Yeah.
So that really makes a difference when you're trying to take photos. You don't have to worry about telephone poles, power wire, power lines going across the street and kind of messing up the look.
Yeah. But
the palm trees were almost regular going down people's front yards, kind of leading down like you see the classic telephone poles when you're learning about perspective.
Yeah. And you just sent me a picture of the three palm trees and mm-hmm. you know how they can they're heading toward each other as you go up. And they look massive, actually. Like,
oh, they are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those are big they could be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those, like I said, we're talking literally 30, 40, a 3-4 story building is how tall they are. And the amazing thing is, of course, like I said, my dad has a couple in his backyard.
Oh.
So they need to be trimmed and taken care of to look a certain way and to stay healthy.
Okay.
He does not go up there.
Yeah, really.
But he does watch people. Basically, they climb the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not, you don't get like a cherry picker. You actually have someone from the base going up, doing the little choppy, choppy part, and then going kind of from tree to tree.
Wow.
To take care of the trees and then come back down.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is a bit mind-blowing. It is. It really is.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So next is street photography techniques. I like this first one. It says blend in with the environment. So if you're, let's say you're traveling to a nice place like this and you think you have to wear the wildest and craziest looking Hawaiian shirt to fit in. You probably wouldn't fit in, or right. Do they wear that down there? I would expect nice bright colors, but not necessarily something like a Hawaiian style shirt with all these, you know, this massively colorful pattern and stuff on it. But that to me says, oh yeah, you're a tourist.
Of course. Believe some people do. Some people right, do. Hey? Yes. Yeah. But again, know the area, but to be honest, for the most part, most people aren't paying attention to you.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, even if you, quote unquote, stand out, you know, no one's going to go out of their way to look at you unless you're – now, if you're exceptionally tall,
mm-hmm.
you'll stand out. You know, and we're talking like 6'7", 7 foot.
Yeah.
You know, you look like you're a basketball player type person. Mm-hmm. You'll stand out no matter where you are.
Oh, but
most people are so engulfed in their day-to-day life, going around, doing their thing. They don't really look at you.
Yeah. And, you know, and when you think of some place like, say, Rome in Italy, there are so many tourists there all the time.
Exactly.
That I think it would be pretty hard to stand out there. So I think you're going to pretty well...
And I think their thing is that we do have an advantage with the iPhone or any other phone, you know, iPhone, Samsung, you know, Android phone. Most people have their phones out half the time anyway. They're checking some, they're checking Facebook, they're checking TikTok, they're checking Instagram, they're checking text messages, they're looking at things. So the fact if we held up our phone, even sideways, which almost no one takes photos sideways anymore. Everyone does vertical.
Yeah.
Or especially vertical video, which everyone loves now, apparently, which a few years ago, everyone hated. It really, you're not going to stand out. You know,
I mean, people probably think you're taking selfies.
It could be. Yeah.
You know, yesterday we were out walking the dog and I was stopped to take a picture of this tree. And this lady was walking along and she didn't want to walk behind me because she thought I was taking a selfie. And she said, oh, I don't want to ruin your picture. I said, oh, no, don't worry. I don't ever take selfies. So she go, okay. And away she went, but I never thought of that. Right. When people hold their phone up, whether they're taking a picture of what's in front of them, you know, some people could think that they're doing a selfie, but you know, so you know, blend in with the environment. If you're going someplace where, you know, you've done your research on it, you've done your homework on it. I mean, even if it's say, like Rick Salmon's gone down to Antarctica, you know, if you're going to a place like that, you're obviously going to blend in with the environment because you're going to dress for it. You know,
right.
It all depends on where you're going. If you're going to, you know, a hot place like where you were in Palm Springs, you're going to dress for it. You're going to take the proper clothes for it and everything else. So you're probably going to blend in. So that's,
yeah,
that's pretty easy.
And like I said, I'll take this from my running. Most people don't notice you.
Yeah.
And I mean, like literally when I'm in a race, what I wear is comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not necessarily because it matches well. So I could have unless I'm really, really going out of my way, like in 2020, there was a St. Patrick's Day race. So I wore a bright green Lucky Charm shirt, something with green sleeves. I had green hair. I had bright green shorts. And it was a green buff over my face.
Yeah.
So I looked like a mascot.
But boy, were you comfortable.
I was warm because at that time, the wind chills were in the lower 20s. It was cold. I didn't expect it to be. But yeah, I stuck out. But it took me that much to stick out. If I'm running I'm wearing a red shirt, blue shorts, you know, I've had orange shoes before. People don't notice.
Literally, yeah, they don't care either.
Most people are literally so engulfed in their life.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to take the extra time to look at you. So it's easier, especially since, like I said, we're not pulling out this massive camera trying to take a picture.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, and the big thing is also if you, and of course, legality is different from proper etiquette. Legality is if someone's in public, you do not have an expectation of privacy. So if you're walking down the street, you're in public.
Yep.
But still, don't zoom in and take like a candid shot of someone close up. You know, just respect people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know.
Yeah. You know, be smart about it. That's all. Yeah. And, you know, that's the next point, really, is capture candid moments. But you got to be smart about that. You know, you could be walking through a marketplace and, you know, there could be somebody there looking at something, holding it in their hand or whatever. And if you're off to the side, you could capture that moment. That's a candid moment.
Right.
But it's not like you're all up in their face and you know, getting a real close up or whatever.
Now, if you're in a market, though, I would also say if you want to take a shot of someone's wear, not necessarily produce, but let's say someone has handmade items or they're selling things like this. Ask the person if it's okay to take a photo.
Right.
Because unfortunately, we did go to one thrift shop, and it was an older building. It was vintage 1960s California, and it said no photography.
Oh,
because really? They would have people come because these were old clothes. They would have people come in, take photos of the clothes, not buy them.
Oh, okay.
Leave and make photos, make their own design off the photo.
Oh, okay.
Because it would be the vintage clothes, not vintage as in like Goodwill vintage, but nice vintage clothing.
Yeah.
Not saying you can't get good stuff at Goodwill, but like very stylish vintage clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And people would just take photos, but not buy anything. So the, you know, but if you're like, say you're going to somewhere and there's someone selling like scarves or wraps or something, you know, just do a quick, oh, do you mind if I take a picture?
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with being polite about it. Right. No. You know,
and can I take a picture of you holding this?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if it's something you're going to buy it, say, I want to buy this, but I want to show the person. I want everyone to see, you know, tell everyone about it. And I think this be great if you could hold this.
Yeah. And that's kind of like the final point in this section is the experiment with different angles and perspectives, right? You know, you can, if you get somebody who's willing to cooperate, you can ask them, okay, can we try a few different things here? And you can try different angles and different perspectives of them, you know, going about their day type of thing. And if they're okay with it, then you can get some pretty cool shots. I think Jack Hollingsworth does that a lot. You know, when he does his people pictures, I mean, if you haven't seen his pictures of people when he's at Mardi Gras, holy cow. Some of the stuff he gets is amazing. You know, and he has a real way of getting people to allow him to take their picture. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to walk beside him and just, so I'm putting my face, my cheeks on my hands, and I'm just as if I'm a little kid watching, you know, a pro at work type of thing. That's what it would be like for me. Is like, oh, like, how do you do this? But, you know, so you could experiment with this kind of thing. You know, when I'm going to use Jack again as an example, when he is working with somebody, he'll get them to stand in a certain place and then he'll go, okay, let's try over here. He recently posted shots from a photo shoot that this lady wanted him to do. And there were so many different angles and places. I think it was around her home that he took pictures of this lady, and man, they turned out fantastic. But it's all about angles and perspectives, you know, like, you know, what angle best suited her in this situation, that type of thing. So you can do that in your travels. If you, either somebody you're with, like say, if you wanted to get Ruth to stand in a certain place and, you know, certain angle, all that stuff, you can experiment with that kind of thing. So, I mean, I think the possibilities are endless when it comes to that.
Yeah. Next, and again, I would also say, if someone says no, just say thank you and move along.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you always be respectful. Mm-hmm. You know, because these people, like, depending on where it is, like, I'm thinking, okay, someplace like, oh, gosh, you know, maybe like Chinatown in New York City or someplace, you know, someplace that's kind of famous where there's a lot of tourism, where people that are local to there, they may get bothered by a lot of tourists to say, hey, can I take a picture? Well, you know, maybe they don't want to do that day type of thing. So be respectful of that. You know, there's always somebody else that may be willing, or you may have another opportunity somewhere else. So, you know, that respect goes a long way. So next we've got document food and cuisine. Now this isn't something that I've done a lot of. I've taken the odd picture of, you know, a nice dish that I've got or something like that, but I haven't been to a place away from home where I've had the opportunity to do this. But so what this does, it showcases local dishes, like, you know, the cuisine. Like, okay, so for your trip, Dave, did you find you had anything that was completely new to you?
Not really. There was one place we went for brunch to that had some nice looking dishes, but nothing that was, well, okay, like the fish tacos. Okay, I've had fish tacos before, but it was a nice presentation of it.
Right, yeah.
You know. And I had a Monte Cristo sandwich.
Oh, those are good, eh?
Yes, those are very good. And so it was just a really nice shot of how they had it set up.
Yeah.
So you can tell someone took some time and effort to make it look a certain way.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, you know, dishes that are not something totally completely different and exotic, like something that you would find in, you know, Thailand or Japan or, you know, someplace like that. But it's a local dish, right? It's still a local dish.
Exactly.
And, you know, you can get close up for detail and things like that. But, you know, there's also, you know, stepping back and getting the whole dining experience and the whole setting. Like if you're in a restaurant where, you know, say it's a, just for an example, like a Greek restaurant, you know, the decor would be something that, it, you know, I mean, it's not your typical roadside diner, that's for sure, right? So, I mean, you might, and if it's not frowned upon, if they don't have an issue with you taking pictures inside the restaurant, you know, sometimes it's nice to get that that image that displays the ambiance, you know, of your dining experience. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely you know, something to shoot for.
Yeah,
because
we actually went to a place called Little Tuscany, and they had an old fashioned cash register.
Oh, really?
Very ornate. Very ornate.
They used it?
No. Oh. This was just something in the lobby.
Okay.
But it was a different feel for the place. Mm-hmm. But no, we're talking the old one where, you know, there'd be a $10 button and a $3 button and a $9 button.
Right. Yeah.
And everything was brass and, you know, lever to actually cha-ching it type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
To put the money in. So that was kind of, and there was a koi pond out in front.
Oh, okay.
So, I got a couple nice photos of I even tried doing a long exposure. Mm-hmm. Of the koi pond, because, you know, the fish, you get that movement and the swirling of the fish and
yeah,
kind of going along. So I use Rehell for that because I think, and a few of us have said this, Rehell is just really good for your long exposure photos these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure is. So. Just real quick, can you send me, say, half a dozen pictures I can put on the website?
Oh, most
for the
definitely.
Post for this? Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Yep.
But also, I want to let people know that check out Jack Hollingsworth's Facebook page. I'm not sure if it's a page or just his personal page, but I mean, definitely go to his Instagram. I'm trying to think of where the best place would be. Anyway, look for him on Instagram. And he does a lot of travel photography, and he'll go to, you know, like a resort. And I mean, he does tons and tons of pictures every time he goes out of his house, even. So, I mean, we'll post a few from Dave's trip, but also think about other travel photographers like Jack is great for you know, capturing sometimes the smallest detail to the biggest vista of wherever he is. So, you know, that's another good resource for checking things out. So finally, we've got edit thoughtfully on the go. And, you know, this is, we kind of touched on old school editing before when you said, okay, no, I don't like that one, get rid of it. All this stuff, right? The benefits of digital photography. But also, you know, you're going to want to post stuff while you're on your trip, right? So you might want to do some quick editing or enhancements kind of on the fly, right? And I'm sure you probably did that.
Yeah, definitely. So now some places I was at did not have cell service.
Oh.
Just because of topography and where we were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, basically I did a lot. Just because the sky and everything was so clear out there.
Oh, was it?
I did a lot of my editing in the Photos app. You know, just a matter of a little tweaking, a little bit with the shadow and the light, maybe bringing up the shadow a little bit, working with you know, the black point, just to make it where you could see the shadows where it wouldn't be as harsh. Having to deal with that, but it was like a little tweaking like that. A couple of times I did have to throw it in Lightroom Mobile, which takes a little bit longer because you have to import it, export it. You know, you just can't hit the three little button, do it while you're in the Photos app, which I would love if Lightroom would do that. But I understand they want everyone to buy the Creative Cloud, so they want their own library separate so they can share it among everything else. So things happen. But yeah, just a little bit of editing or even cropping. There were a few photos where I had to zoom out. We went to the Air Museum out there. That was really the two things that we wanted to hit per se, was the tram and the Air Museum.
Oh, yeah.
And the Air Museum had planes from World War II up through the Cold War.
Oh, really?
All military planes. And you had to, they were the they were vintage era planes that a lot of them could still fly.
Oh, really?
And they were, yeah. In fact, if you wanted to, you could pay a few hundred to a few thousand dollars to actually go up in some of these planes.
Oh, wow.
On a little fly route. But, you know, we're talking like a World War II bomber, a full plane. So you had to kind of step back, do the hat, even stepping back, do the 0.5, do the ultra wide.
Yeah.
And then crop in a little bit and then do a little editing here and there. Or there were a couple of things where they allowed you with the donation, which I understand it is a museum. It's a nonprofit museum. They allowed you to get into the cockpit of this fighter. And they had a place where they got your photo and you got your photo and you can do like that. Mm-hmm. But also I was able to take a photo from inside the cockpit.
That would be so cool.
So I had to do a quick edit because the light coming in and the dark of the cockpit.
Yeah,
I was able to do it though. But you're literally seeing all the dials and knobs and everything going on in there. And even things like there was one cutaway where it would be where paratroopers were getting ready to jump out of the plane.
Okay.
Think any like a superhero army Air Force type movie where they're getting ready to jump out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nets behind them where they're holding. That was literally the plane you got into.
Right. Yeah.
So you were actually in the hold down there. And it actually did a pretty good job because it's dark underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a photo from inside. So just getting that different, but I had to do a quick edit because it was really dark in those areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you said, it was a matter of, and like I said, when I started, I had 20 photos, 30 photos from an area. I don't necessarily want to post 30 photos.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to get rid of them all. I want to keep some. But I know if I put out 30 photos, the people are really going to take the time and effort. And nothing against anyone listening or you. The only one who's going to really take the time and effort to look at a lot of those photos are the two people with me.
Oh,
my dad and my wife.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that goes without saying.
So putting it down to a minute long video. And that's what I did. I took the picture. I edited the photos. Remember, you can always take, and I tried doing this today, kind of unrelated to travel. I was trying to do this today. Live photos you can stitch together in the app to make a video out of.
Mm-hmm.
I tried doing that today on my lunch run as I was kind of going through kind of leaf cover canopy to get kind of a it didn't work out though, but remember that's always a possibility too. But a lot of these, you know, I was editing, if I had to do it in Lightroom, it kills the live photo, that kind of kills that idea. Same thing with going up to the tram. There were things I tried to clip together, and some of them actually worked pretty good to get a kind of a shot as you're going up the tram. And they were the quick edits I did and kind of getting it together in a more presentable form.
Yeah. And I think live photos is a really good idea to use on a trip like this because, excuse me, you can get the audio with the visual and it could take you right back. And I mean, it really enhances the memory of it all, right?
Most definitely, and
you know, the final point of this last thing about editing thoughtfully on the go is maintain the authenticity of the scene, and there's nothing better to do that than with a live photo.
Yeah,
you know, it brings the sound and everything back, and it just enhances the viewing experience. I mean, yeah, it's only like 3 seconds or whatever, but that is 3 seconds of time where it takes you right back and puts you back right back in it. And that was the whole purpose of these live photos when Apple introduced them is to take you back and put you back in the moment. And, maintaining the authenticity of a scene is also like, let's go back to the Rome example and you got the Colosseum there, right? The authenticity of the scene. Now, if I was going to try to shoot that Colosseum, I would probably use reheld or re-expose. And the longer I can make the exposure, the better, because it could take all the people and blur them right out of the image. Right. And then you're left with just the Colosseum. And that to me would be maintaining the authenticity of the scene, because your chances are you're not going to get a picture of that place without people in it.
Oh, no.
Right.
But one thing that would be interesting, taking not that long, just a little shy of the time needed to wipe everyone away. So you would almost have ghost images of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you have the ruins, right? You have the Colosseum, and you just have this ghost image of people, kind of, because you wouldn't be able to get any details. All you would see is like it'd be looking like people just walking around.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah. 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 I mean, there's all kinds of ideas for sure. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty good mix of, you know, travel photography tips and hearing about your trip, which is, you know, I was looking really forward to it. And I've got a much better idea of, like, I saw pictures that you took down there, but I've got a much better idea now of, you know, what all you did down there. And, I mean, I'm sure you did a lot more. You were down there for a week, but, you know, okay. So, one last thing that that's not on our list really, but what about the travel experience? Like you basically spent a day getting there and a whole day coming home.
Yeah.
Did you record that experience at all?
We tried to take some photos out of the plane.
Yeah. I did see one from the plane. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately the plane window was a little dirty.
Yeah.
So it was kind of hard to get photos through it. And like when Ruth went to Vegas for her jewelry convention, she went over the Grand Canyon.
Oh.
So it was like, wow. Yeah. She got the wow. I didn't, we kind of missed that.
Right. Yeah.
I would say make sure you got enough battery life. Because, and this is something she didn't realize, for us to fly like we did. We flew from Pittsburgh to Austin, Texas, which is 3.5 hours. Austin, Texas to Sacramento, California, which is, if you know California, that's the northern part of the state. That was another 3.5 hours. And then we had a flight from Sacramento down to Palm Springs, and that was another 1.5 hours.
Wow.
And then we had like a half hour layover. We had like 23-minute layover where we stayed in the plane. We didn't even get off the plane in Austin. And Sacramento, it was like 1.5 hours because they had issues with the plane. Nothing mechanical, just had to get things signed off, and it took a while for the paperwork. And by the time we landed, it was like 12 hours.
That's a long day.
12 real hours. Ignoring the time zone shift. The phone was okay-ish. My batteries, my headphones basically died on me. And my watch was basically dead. Just because it's a long time.
It is. Yeah.
And on the way back, because of the time zone difference, it was a shorter plane. It was a shorter amount, but we lost 3 hours because of the time zone. Yeah. So we went that on the way back, Palm Springs, up to Vegas, down to Phoenix. I got a couple good photos from the Phoenix airport because it's, you know, beautiful blue skies, really hot weather And then Phoenix to Pittsburgh. But even though that was only 6 hours, I think, in the air, at 3 hour time difference. So we took off at 8. We didn't get into like 7 or 8 at night.
Yeah.
So we were completely drained.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. You know, the last time I went on any kind of trip like that was to Boston. My brother and I, we flew from Toronto to Boston, and believe it or not, it's only 1 hour flight. But from Boston, we got the rental car, went to Cheers, had to do that, and then drove up to New Hampshire, to where our hotel was booked because the NASCAR race we went to was in New Hampshire. From the time we left home, it's about a 2.5 hour drive to the airport in Toronto. And then, I mean, it probably took 2 hours to actually get off the ground because it's a massively big airport.
Yeah.
And then the 1 hour hop to Boston, that was the shortest thing of the whole trip. And then find the rental car, you know, all this stuff. And then, you know, going through Boston was really cool. I even took a wrong turn trying to find Cheers. I went up through this little wee street that was barely big enough. It's a good thing we had a subcompact car.
Mm.
But anyway, so it was interesting. I mean, I love that part of town. Mm-hmm. And we went to Cheers, had some lunch, and that was really cool. And then drove up to the hotel. But I'll bet you it was a good, it had to be a good 10 hours.
Mm.
You know, by the time we got to the hotel. So, I mean, I feel your pain on that one. It's a long day. Traveling is great once you're there or once you're home, but it's the in-between. That's yeah. the part that's everybody just dreads, I think. So, you know, it's, I'm glad that you guys got to go. Yeah. I mean, you don't get to see your dad in person very often. So it was great that yeah. you went down and got to see him and spend some time with him, do some stuff. And, mm-hmm. and, so we're going to, I'm going to get about a half a dozen or so pictures from you.
Oh yeah.
You know, however many you want to send, I would say up to a dozen or even, and I'll put them on the website and, it'll be for this post. So when we share this out, this episode, we'll share links to the website post so people can go there and have a look at the pictures and stuff like that. Because I'm really interested in seeing more of them. I've seen a few of them that you've posted online, but if there's any that I haven't seen, I'll be darn interested to see them. Because you know, I'm looking at the one that you sent of these three palm trees, and they're just so beautiful, the lush greens and the blue sky and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. It sure is a different atmosphere than what we have now. Like, we're in the, this is my favorite time of year for shooting up here because it's autumn and the leaves are, I would say they're at their prime. I don't think they're going to get much better, because even though there's some trees that are still showing green, I think they're just going to go to brown and brown yeah. and down. I say they're going to go brown, then they're going to fall. Like, if we mm-hmm. get a good cold frost, you know, they're going to be gone, right? So I've been out shooting a few fall colors and stuff, not nearly as much as last year, because last year was one of the best seasons I'd seen in years. Mm-hmm. This season's a little different, but I've been putting some online and in the groups on Facebook and whatnot. But I mean, you know, thanks for sharing your experience, oh, yeah. Dave, you know, of traveling. And I think it's cool to do an episode on travel photography. We're finally mm-hmm. able to do one. If you waited for
we finally
travel,
know what's going on. A long
time. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, on that note, I guess we'll tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me pretty much everywhere social media wise as ProfPod, except for TikTok, where I'm ProfPodPGH.
Alrighty, and you can find me, well, you know what, our links are in the show notes for the episode, but you can go to about.me/McMillan and you can find all my links there for wherever I am. And thanks, Dave. We have no idea what the next show will be about, but we'll think of something. Like I say, we always fly by the seat of our pants. So
you can always tell us how horrible, as you notice a lot of the YouTube comments are these days, how horrible the iPhone 15 is.
Oh, yes. It's just terrible.
Oh.
You know, just on a real quick note here, like last week, Matt Hoffman joined me while you were funning mm-hmm. in the sun down there. And we talked about our initial impressions, our first impressions of the iPhone 15 Pro Max that we have. And so if you missed that, folks, go back and give it a listen. You'll hear what we have to say. But, you know, I had to wonder if it was going to be much of a jump from the 14 Pro Max to this one. And I'm seeing a somewhat significant difference between the two. So, I mean, if anybody's on last year's phone and they're not even on the fence about, you know, upgrading, if it's time to do an upgrade, if you don't think it's worthwhile, I don't know. I tend to think like I'm seeing some really good textures in rocks and things like that. To me anyway, in my eye, I find it significantly different, significantly better. I'm going to probably hopefully write a blog post about some stuff, and definitely with the fall pictures and that. But I don't have a lot. Well, I shouldn't say I don't have a lot. I've got all the photos I've took with the 14 Pro Max, but it's been sent back to Apple now to get my trade-in refund or whatever.
Yeah.
But so I didn't have much time to actually shoot the two side by side. I wish I had more time to do that. But to compare, you know, something from last year to something this year, I'll see if I could find images that have the same subject matter and see if there's much of a difference. But if memory serves me, I think this is going to be a lot better, this new camera. So I'm enjoying the zoom, but you know, it's no 10 times, but it's not bad.
Waiting, Apple.
Yeah. We're waiting. Like Patrika would say in Shane Austin's group on Facebook, or usually he pipes up on the live stream and says, Apple will always say maybe next year.
Yeah.
Seems to be like that all the time. But anyway, okay. Thanks again, Dave.
Welcome.
We'll see everybody on the next one.
Have a great one, everyone.